At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Here on the Maroon Friday edition of the Yard. Hope things are well with you. Hope it's payday for you. It's Friday. Hope you get out and go have some fun with the people you love and like the most. I am recording this show a little bit earlier today. Kind of got ahead of the game yesterday, as you guys are well aware. We talked about it on the show all week. Me and the homie Eric Luttrell will be at Hallam House tonight supporting our friends Storage 24. It's they headlined the show for the benefit show at Hallam House for the Coalition Against Domestic Violence in Mississippi. It's a worthy cause. $7 tickets. You get to see 4 bands. I checked everybody out yesterday as best I could. I don't know the order of the bands, but there is kind of a, I don't know if you'd call them death metal or not, but Under the Kudzu is playing. They're a little different, okay? Be aware of that. Band called the Shangri-Las, they're playing a little more of a prog type act. And band called Face Rot. Yeah, not sure what to expect from them. I've seen a couple things online, and it's heavier stuff, but there's some industrial type stuff to it. And then, of course, our boys in Storage 24. So, yeah, we're going to go out and have a good time and be seen, right? And just go have a good time, blow off a little steam. Your good friend and host has not been to a live rock show in a while, which is rare for me. But when you're running two businesses sometimes, you know, hey, that's got to come first. But anytime that our friends are playing and we get a chance to get out and go support them and just have a good time, we want to do that. And so, again, Howlin' Mouse tonight, Jackson. Doors at 6, show at 7. So probably be getting back after midnight. But nevertheless, eager to go get out there and have a good time. And if you're going to be out and around in the central Mississippi area, you'd like to see some live music, come out and support a good cause. And this is a non-paid endorsement, too. I mean, this is my buddy's. Fred is a huge Bulldog fan. When they shot their first video, Fred wore a Mississippi State jersey in the video. He's true maroon. And you may remember this, to kind of shout out Fred a little bit, because Fred is my friend. And I didn't know Fred that well. And Fred used to defend me on Twitter during all of the Ole Miss Hugh Freeze nonsense and all the hubris. And Fred would get on Twitter. I don't see Fred doing quite as much on Twitter these days, but Fred would get on Twitter and like he called Hugh Kellenberger a clown boy and things like that. I mean, like so-and-so was a clown boy and they weren't doing their jobs. And he was very, very, very supportive of me and had a chance to meet him one day, kind of hit it off. And I've been to see them play. I love the track Anger Management. Addiction is good too, but Anger Management is my favorite Storage 24 track. We featured that on a top 10 list some time ago. But nevertheless, Fred had asked me to be in the video. We couldn't work it out. There's like one time we were going to do it, and we had something change, and I couldn't be there. So I hate not being involved in that. But nevertheless, I will be there to support them tonight. And it's funny. I was telling the bride last night. I said, yeah, Fred had called so many people clown boys. After all that was over with, and I had all these Ole Miss people in my mentions crying, I found a picture of this place called the Clown Hotel outside of Vegas. And I said that, you know, welcome to the Clown Hotel, you know, to all of you that were wrong, because our concierge, Fred, will show you to your room, you know, for all you clown boys out there. But anyway, good times. And that's kind of the fun part of social media, right? I mean, it's just, you know, having a good time. A lot of negativity out there in the world. It's nice when we can make friends through social media and then have an opportunity to kind of get together and break bread. We'll go have dinner, Eric and I, and go to the show. So, yeah, I love Howlin' Mouse. It's a historic venue. Joey Gatti used to play lead guitar in the band called Twist that eventually became Miss Bloom. His dad owns the place now. And so I'm excited to be back. And I've seen some great people there. I've seen Faster Pussycat there, Enough's Enough, Lillian Axe. Man, going all the way back, man, it's between W.C. Dons and Howlin' Mouths, I think we had everybody. And the Doc, of course. Shout out to the Doc. But, yeah, we're getting older. It doesn't mean that, you know, we got to see a little silly, you know. We can go out there and make some things happen, you know. All right, let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. We love Bulldog Burger Company because there's so much consistency there. That's the one thing that I can tell you about Bulldog Burger Company that I probably love the most in addition to the food. It's just the quality of service. Like every time that I go there, it's the same meal every time. It is. So I know what to expect when I go put my feet under their table, and they do such a good job taking care of me when I go. They do. You don't have to worry about anything. You just go sit down, place your order, and they take care of everything. Everything. It's so nice to be able to go to a place that values customer service. It's a lost art form. We had this discussion recently about, you know, it's like after COVID, man, it's like a lot of these big companies just kind of gave up. It's like, hey, if you don't want to come back, don't come back. But, man, that's the thing about localized service. And that's what you get at Bulldog Burger Company. A quality meal every time. But the service, absolutely unsurpassed. Absolutely unsurpassed. I love going in there because I never leave there feeling worse than when I went in. Right? How many places can you say that about? I always say it about Bulldog Burger Company. I always have a great meal, a great price, with great service at Bulldog Burger Company. Have the Pimentology, add bacon. That'll put some hair on your chest. Get those spring rolls as your appetizer. They'll make you and everybody around you better looking. Some of you need to have it as an entree. Get a double order. And get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive in Stark Vegas. Gloucester Street there in Tupelo. Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. I got a little distracted there. I've got my phone in front of me. Everybody's got the fam chat, right? And my daughter Mia got some text. Of course, Mia's leaving for Harvard this weekend. Excited, but I'm a little, you know, I'm dad. But anyway, she gets some text, you know, because everybody's on my phone plan. Well, not everybody, but most everybody is. She is. And she got some, one of these scam texts, you know, some dividend check or whatever, you know, and they misspelled my name. And so she puts in the fam chat. They left off the E. It's S-T-E-V. It says lock in Stev. And anyway, so Audrey, my oldest daughter, says, does this prove that daddy voted twice? And I said, actually, five times. Stephen with a P-H, Stephen with a V, Stev, Steve, and Fred, is my middle name. She said, I'm going to send this to the FBI. Go right ahead. And Ani comes in with Steve Rose. So that's maybe an opportunity next time. I'll just vote six times. But anyway, nevertheless, a little whimsy on a Friday morning. And listen, some good things are happening. And I want to talk a little bit about that too. As you guys saw yesterday, for the Tennessee game, the SEC opener, we're going to wear the interlocking MSU. It's going to be a white out. I'm not so big on the white outs per se, but I'm big on the interlocking, as you guys are well aware. And, of course, some of our fans are extremely passionate about the interlocking. I'll say again for the record, it is without question the best football logo we have ever had. Period. I don't think anybody could argue against it. And everybody's got their opinions. And maybe it's the nostalgia a little bit. And I talked to a couple guys yesterday after this announcement happened, and they said, you know, Steve, I don't think it's the nostalgia. I just think it looks better. And I do too. I think the Jackie, Wayne, Cheryl era of the MSU interlocking is the toughest logo we've ever had for football. Simple as that. And I've had some people that have told me. You know, there's a lot of people too. And listen, I love you guys to death, but there's a lot of people that are kind of like, you know, they get really caught up in the minutiae of things. And so there's this thing, everybody knows about SEO. And you're like, Steve, what are you talking about? So in the internet world, there are these, it's SEO, which is search engine ordinance, right? That's what that stands for. And so when people put their URL together, right? And so I know I'm speaking over people's heads here. That you put in your SEO, right? And I've had some people tell me, well, you know, the SEO for MSU is Michigan State. And so, you know, we can't really brand it. I'm thinking, you don't have to do that. You can, we can have the helmet sticker. We can. And you can still use the regular SEO. That doesn't change anything, right? We that's just silliness. So here's what I've learned about this. Okay, number one, yeah, we're getting it back for a game. I want it back permanently. Again, I'm not going to take to the streets of Starkville and, you know, have a protest or anything of that nature. I don't know that it gets us anywhere. But the thing that I've pointed out to people, especially as of late, because most people honestly don't have a strong opinion about the football, quote, logo. But those of us that do have a strong opinion about it, we prefer the interlocking. And so that's kind of the argument that I've made, is if most people simply don't care, then they would be okay with us taking this route. Now, based on what I've been told, this is it's a one-off right now. It's not a permanent thing, at least for now. And as I've said, I'd like to see it come back, and then it's never changed. We never should change it in the first place. And for those of you that were members of Gene's Page back in 2021, you kind of know the story, and I'll give you the kind of the Cliff Notes version. You know, kind of the talk that had been shared for years is that Nike owned that logo, and that when we transitioned away from Nike, we no longer had the rights to that logo. And that probably sounded cute, but that's not how it works, right? That's not how it works. That is a mark and trademark of Mississippi State. We hold the trademark. And that's one of the things that we began to investigate way back 4 years ago. Who owns the mark? Does Nike own it or does Mississippi State? Well, at the time, nobody owned it. And I'm going to give you some reasons why, right? So we had a person at Mississippi State in administration that retired. And part of their function was to renew all of our branding, right? All of our marks, our trademarks, our secondary marks. That was part of their gig. Well, after they retired, the next year, a couple of marks, including the Walkin' Bull League and the Interlockin' MSU, the trademark expired on those marks. And so it was just out there. And so my trademark attorney said, do you want to go grab these? And I'm thinking, hey, somebody needs to, because if we don't, if somebody outside of the Mississippi State family doesn't grab this thing, then you could have some third-party vendor go and renew this mark, and then they could then print interlocking T-shirts, and then Mississippi State gains nothing from it. And so I said, hey, let's go ahead and do our due diligence. I said, I'll just buy these, and we'll gift them back to the university to protect them, right? Get on the phone, call somebody who's no longer at Mississippi State. I said, hey, here's what's going on. And they're like, no, we own those marks. I was like, no, you don't. You don't. You do not own them. You may think you do, but you don't. You have allowed these to expire. We got to get that corrected. I said, I'm willing to do it. We can pay the fee today. We'll file the paperwork, but it'd be better if you guys do it. Let's just go ahead and get it done. And so we wanted to kind of defend ourselves. And that's one of those things. You want to talk about things that piss me off. That's near the top. Okay, when you're clearly wrong and you're too insecure or arrogant to admit you're wrong, what you have to say is of no value. It's just like the thing I've shared with you guys before, right? People would learn more from their mistakes if they weren't so busy denying that they made them. This was one of those situations. So I get on the phone, I call John Cohen. John, listen, here's the scenario. Here's how this is unfolded. And so those of you that know John, you can understand, let's just say John was not pleased. But to make a long story short, we got it taken care of. And then the person initially called me back and said, hey, here's the deal. We're going to do this next year. Not this year, but next year we're going to bring back the interlocking, then vintage vault. We'll wear it for a game. All that good stuff. And so that was 4 years ago. And, you know, and again, some people have a revisionist history about this too. But yeah, we all wanted to stay script. Maybe not all of us, but a lot of us, the majority of us. And that was one of the things that we kind of impressed upon Zach Selman. It's like, hey, let's go state script. Let's go state script. Let's go state script. I think the state script looks great on a polo. I think it looks great on a hat. It looks great on a T-shirt. It looks great on the midfield logo at Davis-Wade Stadium. Looks great. I think it looks good on the helmet. I don't think it looks great. It doesn't look nearly as good as the interlocking. And so when this thing came out yesterday about the whiteout, you know, 25-year anniversary of the Snow Bowl, and we're going to white it out, we're going to wear the interlocking, cool. And I think you saw the response from fans, right? Now, I'm a firm believer in this, that leadership does not require an opinion poll, right? You got to make the best decisions. But honestly, I think at this juncture, number one, again, we should have never changed it, ever. That's my opinion. You may disagree. Should never have changed it. But considering right now kind of the temperature around Mississippi State football, we need something to get excited about. We need something to give like a rush of exuberance. And I already expected us to have a big crowd for Tennessee. And I'm not sure somebody's going to come to a ball game because of a sticker, but I think there's going to be a lot of people that say, you know what? I was thinking about maybe staying home watching this on TV. I think I'm going to go, right? I think just the exuberance of that moment helps a little bit. You know, we need something to get jacked about. And so it's the interlocking with the regular iced out uniforms. And I think most people would agree with me. That's perfectly fine. We don't have to have the full Jackie Wayne Sherrill regalia, those stormtrooper outfits. We don't have to have all of that. I think I speak on the majority of us that prefer the interlocking. It's like, hey, if you just want to roll us out there in what you've done historically in recent years under Adidas and those white uniforms, and you let us put the interlocking sticker, I think everybody's cool. That's what I believe. I don't think we have to have the 98, 99 era uniforms. I think this is a good compromise, and I hope that we keep it. And, of course, I've had some conversations behind the scenes. I've asked Zach Selman multiple times about this on the record. And my hope is we have made some progress. Now, if we go out there and we beat Tennessee, do you not think maybe just in the interest of luck and good fortune that maybe we just stick with it? I mean, that's just right. You know what I mean? Because the last two times we've worn the interlocking, we haven't played well. But at the end of the day, I think that this is a good thing. And again, right now it's only scheduled as a one-off, right? But we're holding out hope that this could be something a little more permanent, right? And of course, there's a lot of people involved in all this, a lot of decision makers. But I think at the end of the day, as I said earlier in the show, most people don't have a strong opinion, but those of us that have strong opinions prefer the interlocking. And so I think, you know, there is a small minority that love the banner M. And as I've said on this show before, I love the banner M on a tie tack. I love the banner M on a diploma. I love the banner M on university letterhead. It just doesn't work as an athletics logo. That's my opinion. You may disagree. But that's how I feel.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
In addition to this, I also learned yesterday that Mississippi State has a new agreement with Adidas. I'm not sure when the contract was signed, but it was done during the Zach Selman era. I suspect it was probably a year or longer ago, and we could probably get that if we wanted to file a FOIA. But at the end of the day, we've confirmed Mississippi State will be with Adidas until 2030, at least. And went back yesterday and kind of found the details of the earlier deals. The deal that we signed initially did not come with any actual compensation. You know, basically, we were the customer. But it was basically just apparel and equipment. Well, the deal that Scott Strickland signed, when we extended that deal back in 2014, we extended that and took it through 2020. That deal was $17.5 million, including some cash considerations along with apparel, uniforms, and equipment. So you got to think we've gotten a bigger deal since then. Of course, a lot of these things bubbled up with Tennessee going back to Adidas and announcing that they're part of their compensation package was also NIL. Well, I've confirmed now with Mississippi State officials that is the case for us too. In fact, State was the first Adidas school to have that part of their contract. So some proactive moves here by Zach Selman, right? And again, I don't know why we didn't announce the deal. That's one of those things I'm a little bit curious about. Like, I'm a firm believer in this. If I make a decision, I'm going to announce it, and you'll find a way to deal with it, right? But for some reason, we did not announce that deal. And we probably should. I'm sure now that I've put this out here that we have a new deal, that it runs to 2030. Somebody will go FOIA that to find out what the actual language looks like. I don't think it's that big a deal. I'm not going to chase it just because there was some discussion, you know, shortly after Zach Selman got here. He and I had these conversations back in 23, you know, or is it 23? Time flies when you're having fun. Yeah, 23. But, yeah, the time was coming for us to have some make some decisions about Adidas and who's going to outfit us. And so it's interesting, too. I see people, I think, and I'm going to be nice about this, as nice as I can be without coming across as being insulting. I don't want to mean to be insulting. Please understand. Some people put out there and say, well, like I put the article out. They were with Adidas 2030. And they're like, hey, I wish we'd go with Nike. Okay. Nike's got to want to do business with us too. It's not as simple of us just going out here and picking somebody and said, hey, we want to go do these. We're not paying for these uniforms. You understand what I'm saying? Now, if you guys want to go pay for them, I'm sure Nike's willing to sell us a bunch of stuff. And that would be a deficit rather than a credit to Mississippi State. So that would go on the minus side of the ledger, if you know how business works. I'm sure, again, Nike, I'm sure, is happy to sell us this. But the reality of it is they're not providing us with the deal comparable to Adidas. And people say, well, Steve, I want to do, you know, Jumpman, or I want to do British Knights, or I want to do, you know, Avia. It makes any difference to me, Reebok. Whoever gives us the best deal is what we're going to go with, right? And I think sometimes people forget that. That's how business works. There's got to be a buyer and a seller. And we may have interest in Nike. They may not be willing to compensate us on par with what Adidas is going to do. So that didn't make sense for us. Even before NIL and rev share, that would not have made sense for us. But certainly in a new world where every dime has to be absolutely accounted for, we got to get the best deal for Mississippi State. The best deal for the Mississippi State athletic department, our football program, all of our athletic programs, we got to get the best deal for them. Not for you to go buy a polo. And I think that's an important aspect of this, that sometimes people are like, well, Adidas makes bad polos. You know what? You can go get a Peter Millar polo. You can get a Nike polo. You can get anything you want out there. There's a lot of people out there that sell officially licensed Mississippi State merchandise. A ton of them. So you don't have to go get an Adidas polo. You don't. Well, Steve, I want the officially licensed. Okay, cool. Whatever. But Mississippi State should not accept $1 less than they deserve just so you can have the polo of your choice. But Steve, I'm a customer. You are. That's true. You are. See them season ticket holder. That's true, you are. Does that mean we get to call plays too? Does that mean we get to sit in on meetings between Dr. Keenum and Zach Solomon? Well, Steve, you're being absurd. So are you. That you think Mississippi State, in a time when revenue is at a premium, that we should take less money. Because that's really what it's about, is taking less money. Not for the betterment of Mississippi State, but so you have a couple more things to choose from in the closet. True. Now, moving ahead here, we talk about how, you know, the ever-changing landscape in college athletics. You know, one of the things, talking to some decision-makers, shall we say, about the rev share, you know, there are some schools out there that have no rev share. I don't know if you're aware of that. You know, there are some people that didn't opt in to the house settlement. You know, so they're not under its restrictions or its benefits in many respects. And there are some people out there that opted in that aren't going to have the 20.5. And so when you think about, you know, what's the great separator, right? And this is one of those things that I go back to the Scott Strickland, Dan Mullen, John Cohen era. The one thing that I thought we did differently, while we did not catch a lot of our SEC peers, we did upgrade a lot of facilities here. When you go to Louisville, you know, you go to Georgia Tech, you go to those schools in those G5 areas, like for those of you that went to Florida State this year for the baseball regional, did you not see, in many respects, that they were trailing behind us facility-wise? Did you not see that? That's where the power of the SEC TV deal has really made the difference for Mississippi State. And let's be honest, more times than not, we're not going to be beating Alabama and Tennessee and Georgia head-to-head for recruits, right? Even though our facilities are much better than they were. You know, a lot of times you're going to be out there working against our contemporaries within the conference, you know, people that are similarly situated. And that's where I think we've made the biggest difference. You know, how many times do you see you pull up, you know, profile of 247 Sports and, you know, guys got a bunch of offers from all over. And then they come in to visit Mississippi State and said, it just felt like home. The facilities there are great and blah, 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 blah. I think sometimes that is probably the forgotten part of this. We get so caught up sometimes in catching our neighbors, and that's important. It's important. But I think the biggest byproduct of what we've seen in the last 10 years at Mississippi State is our ability to be a real separator with many of the other schools that are recruiting players that at times we've lost players to. You know, what I mean, let's think about it. You know, like North Carolina, Duke, and places like that. I mean, listen, UNC's a great campus. Chapel Hill's great. But that's what we're seeing, and it's not just on the football side. You know, certainly on the baseball side, too. But then you go out and you build this brand-new doghouse and for softball, and then you completely renovate the soccer clubhouse, too, this past year. You know, and so you begin to upgrade those facilities for those sports, and then you begin to get those visitors that come in, and then they come in from some other place, and they don't have what we have. And so we've always talked about being good stewards of our money, and I think at times we kind of forget that aspect of it, is that this trickle-down effect from everything kind of helps pay for everything else. We got to take care of football because football takes care of everything. But when you begin to factor in the enhancements and the advancements that we have made in other sports, it is significant. And again, a lot of that is that, you know, trickle down stuff from the, you know, the ESPN media rights deal, which leads us to the never ending discussion about the SEC schedule. And again, there this past spring meetings, there were less votes for the nine-game schedule than there were last year. I don't know if you guys knew that. Less votes. That was the big thing in the media, you know, a couple years ago. People were like, oh, yeah, it's so close. And, you know, they're probably going to vote for the nine-game schedule. And didn't happen. Did not happen. And since that first discussion, was it 3 years ago now? The votes have come and swung the other way to stay with eight. And if you're Mississippi State, you need those four non-conference games. You do. And the argument that we go back to, that people are like, well, I want to see us play against a Power 5 opponent. I want to see us go to bowl games. And so, yeah, you got eight Power 5 opponents in the schedule every single year. And people used to say, I remember Scott Strickland was the AD, they'd say, Scott, I'd love to see, you know, a great Power 5 matchup. He goes, me too, and it's going to be in our bowl game, right? Well, then the Power 5 mandate comes along. So in the event that we ever go to a nine-game SEC schedule, which I think is not good for Mississippi State or good for the SEC, as I've mentioned many times before, you got 16 teams in the league. If you play the Power 5 mandate, you got a chance to go 16-0. You add the ninth SEC game, the best you can do is 8-8. So the league is going to take eight losses, which could knock somebody out of the playoff, right? Which in turn is less money for the conference, which is less money for Mississippi State. But Steve, I want to see that game. Kind of going back to your polo shirt. It's not all about you. There's a bigger place and a bigger plan and a bigger picture in place. And it's important to understand. Again, we play eight Power 5 opponents every year in the SEC plus the Power 5 mandate. So you get nine Power 5 opponents. You can come pick whichever nine you want. And you come watch them play. And I think that's an important aspect of this. We have to understand there's a lot of things that I'd like to see us do, right? There's a lot of personal opinions that I have, but they may not be what's best for Mississippi State. And ideally, that's what I want, what's best for Mississippi State. All right, time for today's player of the day from closewithblair.com. We had media opportunity yesterday. I had a chance to meet with four players, Blake Chapin just kind of briefly. But nevertheless, it's always good to get access. You know, you guys want to know what's happening behind the scenes. We do too. You know, and I've read some people before that have said, "Guy, what's the point in having a press conference?" Guys, what you're really telling me is you're not a sports writer, because we need those interviews to produce content to let you guys know what's going on in the world. And so, yeah, I enjoy going to the press conferences, and more so the players, I guess. You know, sometimes you need a confirmation from a coach or how a player's doing, but I enjoy hearing from the players. I really do. We'll get to our player shortly. Guys, one of the life hacks that nobody's told you about, especially if you're a young person, is like buying a house is not as simple as you may think. You need to entrust the services of a mortgage professional. Blair Chandler, coming up on 25 years of experience in the industry. 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. And guys, I read all the time that young people are having a tough time, right? You know, you get a degree in something that maybe is not as employable as you hoped, and maybe you don't find the job in your field of choice. It takes a little while to kind of become an adult. Sometimes you got to do what you have to do until you can do what you want to do. And so as a result, sometimes people are having to take lower paying jobs, and they're like, you know, I really thought by this point in my life I would be farther along. I'd have some roots somewhere. I'd be able to buy a home. Some of that is because of the loan originator that perhaps you're using. And I would suggest that you deal with Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com, just because of the fact Blair has dealt with all of this before, and Blair deals with this on a daily basis. There's a lot of people kind of breaking into the industry. Listen, this is far too important a decision to entrust it to just anybody. So whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, your retirement home, or perhaps that game day condo in Starkville, which may be more affordable than you think, hit up Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com. Be sure and let him know you heard about him on the Boneyard. Blair's my buddy. Love Blair. Had a chance to break bread with him recently here in Starkville. And went to Harvey's and had a great meal. He goes, man, it's been forever since I've been to Harvey's. I said, dude, you're doing life wrong. I'm in there all the time. I love going there for lunch. But nevertheless, Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com. Very happy to partner with him. So your Close at Blair player of the day. Guys, we're going to go with Hunter Washington. And you know what? Let's do Hunter Washington and Jordan Mosley. And let me tell you why. Both of those young men transferred to Mississippi State and have stayed here. Right? To me, they are portal success stories. And both of these guys have been solid contributors. Maybe not stars, You know, but J-Mo caught the first touchdown pass of the Jeff LeBierre. He'll always be the answer to that trivia question, right? But in this day and time when so many different people are holding schools hostage, right? These two guys transferred in, looking to better their situation. They did. They've remained loyal. Jordan Mosley, and I asked him last night about this, he was committed to Tennessee. They had a coaching change in Tennessee. In the middle of all that, he decides to open it back up. He ends up having to go to Northwestern. It's a big difference for a kid from Alabama. Gets up there, didn't like it, hits a portal. And Coach Mike Leach's staff signed him, bring him to Starkville. And he has become, in many respects, a fan favorite. And had the best year of his career last year. I think you could say the same for Hunter Washington. And so now they get one more dance together. But these guys are the right portal stories. Because how many times do you see it? A guy signs with a school, goes in the portal, stays with a school, goes in the portal. Guys, we got some guys out here on their fifth and sixth schools. The portal was intended for players like Hunter Washington and Jordan Mosley. They just needed a reboot, a reset to their college careers. And they found it at Mississippi State, and they've stayed. And they've been very loyal to the True Maroons out there. And so I wanted to kind of point that out. I mean, we don't need to go through statistics. I think there's something bigger than that. And both of them obviously will graduate as Mississippi State alums. And Mosley talked about last night about how it was good for his grandparents. Before his grandfather passed away, he was able to come to most of the games. That's something that you can't put a price tag on. Those memories are invaluable. And so I want to praise both of those guys. They're not alone, but both of those guys came to media last night. I thought it was important to kind of point out that both of them came here and stayed here and have contributed here. And we're grateful to have them here at Mississippi State. Your close with Blair, players of the day, Jordan Mosley, Hunter Washington. All right, time for today's Top 10 List is brought to you by Calido Guitars. That's CalidoGuitars.com. Here's the deal, guys. You need a guitar shop. Rather than go with some like online thing and it's like just some big conglomerate somewhere, let's keep the business in the family because you can get their instruments and gear at a discount by listening to this show. Calido Guitars is great. Mississippi State owned and operated company out of Lake Jackson, Texas. They have family here in town. They get back occasionally. I broke bread with the owner of Calido Guitars. Sat down, put our feet under the cafe table, and just had a great meal together. Just kind of talk sports, talk music, and things of that nature. And very proud to partner with them. So visit CalidoGuitars.com online, and here's what you're going to get. Quality service, exemplary service, and an expertise that is unsurpassed. How many times do you buy something online from somebody else and something's not exactly as it should be, and then you can't get somebody on the phone and it becomes a big hassle? That's the last thing you want, right? Anybody can kind of do a job when things go right, but when things go wrong, you need to be able to reach out to somebody rather than deal with Amazon or whoever. Let's deal directly with a Mississippi State-owned business, CalidoGuitars.com. Whether you need guitars, you can get acoustic, classical, electric. You can get beginner, intermediate, or professional-grade guitars. Anything you need. I've shared with you guys, you can get a Joe Satt, licensed guitar. You know, you get his guitar. You can get a Steve Vai guitar. Maybe you don't need those signature models, but you can find them at Calido Guitars. It's a serious guitar shop, okay? Look no further than them. And they're going to give you some incentive to do business with them. Promo code BSR, you know it well. That gets you 10% off your purchase price. Doesn't matter if you're buying a case, a guitar, whatever. 10% off your purchase price by using promo code BSR. We could all use a promo code. But the savings don't just stop there. By using the BSR promo code, you get free shipping. You get no sales tax. And they make a 5% donation to the Bulldog Excellence Fund. And I've told you guys, too, I keep going back and looking at it. You know, there's a Steve Vai. It's not a very expensive guitar. I can't afford to go make a big purchase because I don't play enough. It's not that I don't have the money. I don't play enough to make a huge investment. But there's a couple of guitars, especially that Steve Vai whited out signature guitar. I'm thinking I'd like to have that. I would like to have that. And so that's the thing. You go to the barbershop, eventually you get the haircut. You owe it to yourself today, go to Kalita Guitars and just do a little browsing and kind of whet your appetite a little bit. And the next thing you know, you're going to find a quality instrument at a discounted price just because you're a Boneyard listener. KalitaGuitars.com. Okay. We've had a good run of requests, and some of you that wanted to get your request in have kind of jumped aboard. The momentum we've had here as of late, you know, we did the 12-string acoustic, the keyboard acoustic intros, not a keyboard acoustic. You understand what I'm saying. We did these intros, and Bill, who claims to be a drummer, I didn't go peruse his social media or stalk or anything like that. You know, I didn't do that. Said he's a drummer, and he goes, Steve, I've enjoyed these lists. What about, on behalf of the drummers, I don't think we get enough respect. How about some great songs with a drum intro? And this list is lengthy, right? We put a top 10 together. I probably could put 100 of these together because so many of the great rock and metal songs begin with a drum intro. And I like a good drum intro, right? I'm one of these guys, too, as I told you guys. I like a song that builds. I also like these that just kind of come out punch you in the face. And there's a lot of that with our list today. And so, Bill, this is for you. Top 10 rock songs with a drum intro. You know, we couldn't do country songs, I guess. Maybe you could. I don't know. I don't listen to enough country to know. And listen, I'm going to say this, and I know many of you love country. And one of the reasons that I'm not a bigger country guy, and I love Hardy because I don't really consider him a country guy, even though I love the country stuff. And I love I texted Hardy's dad last night and said, I really enjoy the collaboration with Hardy and Falling in Reverse. I've got a Ronnie Radke tattoo. I'm a Ronnie Radke guy. I know some other people aren't. That's cool. You're entitled to your own opinion. But All My Women is a fun song. It's silly, but it's fun. And it's not the collaboration that I expected. It may have been the collaboration that I needed. But nevertheless, I just don't find, and I know some people are going to be offended, I just don't think the technical skill on the countryside is anywhere close to what it is on the rock side. And there's some talented people that have made the transition, but not just from a singer standpoint, and there's a lot of that too, especially on the male side. Most of those women singers can really belt, but those are my feelings. You know, it's a lot of 2 and 3 chord progressions. You know, I like people that can do things that I can't. I respect and admire them. And I'm a rocker at heart. So here are our top 10 songs with the rock intro. And this is one I absolutely love. We talk about sonic composition from time to time. This is one of those. I'm a big Steve Lukather fan. He's played on thousands of songs. He is the guitarist. It's Toto's Rosanna, which is a song that was written about Rosanna Arquette, right? For those of you that don't know, true story. And she's actually in the background of the song, her laugh. Like she's in the studio and it's recorded and there's like, what is it? And then there's like a laugh. It's Rosanna Arquette. But it starts with a great little slip beat drum intro. I dig it, and I love Lukather's part. But the thing about this, the instrumentation in this is very complex. And you got the keys, the horns, there's so much to this. It's a very layered song, and the composition, I think, is beautiful. I had it on 45. It dates me, right? I had this on 45, and I loved it. Absolutely loved it. Number 9, a song that's a little more modern for many of you. And for those of you that watched the Varsity Blues, which is a great movie. If you don't know it, you should watch it. A lot of you guys are watching Landman, and I can't wait for season 2. Ali Larter, who is Billy Bob Thornton's on-again, off-again wife. Like, her debut was in Varsity Blues. Yeah. And so she was a big deal back then. Maybe a bigger deal now. But there's one segment of the show where my hero from Foo Fighters is playing. And love Dave Grohl as a drummer. I know Dave Grohl has taken some hits here as of late due to his, personal decisions in his personal life, and has paid for that, and has taken some time to be with his family, as he should. But the guy's an incredible musician. And so my hero from the Foo Fighters, number 9. Number 8, and again, one of these very layered, complicated songs where everything just seems to work. It's Stevie Wonder's Superstition, which to me is the greatest Stevie Wonder song of all time. And there's a lot of great ones, but to me, that's the one. That's the one when you say, you know what, they absolutely nailed it. And the thing that I love about players from the 70s is they could really play. They didn't have Pro Tools, they didn't have auto-tune, they didn't have all this corrections they could make with computers, because computers just didn't exist in the music industry back then. It just didn't happen. And so you got to think about this. How many rehearsal sessions were required to pull this thing together? And then this is the best take of all of those. It's great. Great Stevie Wonder, a musical genius. Number seven, we used to play this song at Davis Wade Stadium. I'm more of an Oasis guy, but across the pond there, Blur is kind of the foil for Oasis. And so they were very much rivals. And Blur, who I don't think has quite as much depth in the catalog as Oasis. I think Oasis is a little more talented, but this song is an absolute blister, man. It's Blur's Song 2. And you know it when you hear it, right? We used to play it at Davis Wade and used to get everybody on their feet, even if they didn't know it. But I absolutely love it. It's still an infectious song. It's just not long enough. Number six, going back. And again, you probably know this, you Gen X guys and gals. You probably know this song from Wayne's World. But it actually predates Wayne's World. And a lot of people have covered it. But we're going with Sweet's Ballroom Blitz at number six. You know, and it's like in the beginning, are you ready, Steve? Yeah. And the next thing you know, the thought that's drum, it's just one of those things that just kind of works. It's like, I know that these guys maybe weren't as great as some of their contemporaries. And Sweet still had a big following. But man, this song is just like, it's just like eating candy corn. You know, it's like, I can't have this one. Number five, a very serious band. And I listened to a podcast recently that Bono was on. And I think in many respects, maybe Bono's work on the philanthropic side maybe needs more attention. He does a lot of stuff to help people around the world. He has really used his platform for a good thing. And he was on a Joe Rogan podcast, and he was talking about, you know, America makes the world go, and especially from the relief aid side. And he was just kind of imploring that, you know, we need to find a way to get the relief aid out. Even if we're cutting all this pork out of our federal government, we've got to find a way to get relief to other people around the world that depend on us. And I think there's probably some truth in that. But I go back to the early days of U2. And before they were, you know, a mega band, right? Before they were like a household name. And the song that kind of pulled me in is this one. And it has Adam Clayton does a great job on this. It's Sunday Bloody Sunday, U2. And War is amazing. If you're looking for an album that maybe, if you're younger than me, and if you're looking for an album that maybe may surprise you, like a classic album that maybe you've never thought to kind of check out and listen to, and you say, you know, I would like to listen to music of purpose, you know, this is the one, I think. And there's just a lot to this. You know, they've had some great records, you know, Joshua Tree and all that stuff, but you go back to War back in 83, and the thing that's always so haunting to me is like the kid on the cover. You know, and this is when all this stuff was happening in Europe, and pretty incredible. But I would put this album on. Came out February 28th, 1983. It's just 42 minutes of absolute goodness. And just put it on, and you can see from the very beginning that U2 was going to be a serious band. And that's the lead track on the War album, Sunday, Bloody Sunday. Number four, a little less serious on this one. Many of you know this one. Many of you got turned on to this when Run DMC and Aerosmith collaborated on Walk This Way. But we're going to go back to the beginning. And this is really before Steven Tyler kind of found his voice. Like, if you go listen to the Run DMC version, it's the Steven Tyler you know. You go back to the original version, it's a little understated and a little muted in the chorus because Steven wasn't doing all the scatting and screaming quite yet. So be sure and check that out. Number four, Aerosmith's Walk This Way. Great drum intro there. Number three, Anytime we can get the majesty of Freddie Mercury on the show, we want to. This song actually is not just, even though it is very percussive, it's not just drums. There's the clapping of hands and the stamping of feet. It's We Will Rock You. It's been played in every athletic venue in the history of the world, I suspect. And it's one of those songs, too, that is just simply anthemic. It gets people on their feet. And I think we should play it more, quite honestly. And think about that, too. We will rock you. Think about how long a shelf life that song has had. Everybody knows it. Everybody. Like, how many songs does everybody in the world have some, or most everybody in the world have some semblance of remembrance? It's incredible. Number two, and I remember this. This is back when I was still on Snapchat, back when that was a thing. I'm not on there anymore. Everybody, they want us to post our stories and kind of what we were doing with our travels and things like that. You know, I don't know how you build a following on Snapchat with your clothes on, but that's just my personal feeling. But nevertheless, I remember leaving to go meet Mike Nemeth for the drive down to Baton Rouge. And we didn't know if we were going to have a college football season. And as I pulled out of my driveway, I listened to Led Zeppelin's Rock and Roll, pulling out of the driveway. And I filmed it because I was so glad to be going to cover a college football game. It's been a long time since Rock and Roll. It's what we do. And I don't know that you could ever – I mean, I don't know if there's really – many songs out there with a better intro of any kind than that to Rock and Roll from Led Zeppelin. Number one, though, and with bated breath, many of you are waiting. Those of you who love music are like, where's he going to go here? And that's right. That's right. We're going big country. No, no. We're going Van Halen's Hot for Teacher. Could it be anything else? Like that, honest to goodness. Like we, you know, those of us that grew up in the 70s and 80s, like we knew John Bonham, right? We knew who that was. And then all of a sudden in the MTV video music era, then all of a sudden Hot for Teacher came out. Number one, the scenery was incredible for teenage guys. But also, too, watching Alex Van Halen just go to work. Like all you'd ever heard is Eddie, 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 and then Dave, Dave, Dave. You didn't hear a lot about Michael and Alex, which is unfortunate. And, of course, as we matured, we began to realize that band really was – that rhythm section kind of provided the bed for all of Eddie's remarkable, revolutionary guitar playing. But all of a sudden, we saw Alex Van Halen as a superstar too. And many don't know this, but it was actually Alex started on the guitar, Eddie started on the drums. I don't know if you knew that. Then they switched. Yeah, Alex would come home. Or Eddie would come home and Alex would be playing his drums. And so he picked up the guitar. They just traded. How a sibling rivalry spawned the musical revolution. Pretty crazy to think about. But yeah, Van Halen's Hot for Teacher off the legendary album, 1984. And that's one of those albums, too, with no skips. Some of my favorite tracks on that album, the 1984 album, are not the singles. Everybody knows, you know, Jump and Panama and all. Everybody knows all that stuff. Everybody knows it. But the depth of this album is really unsurpassed, in my estimation, in the Van Halen catalog. I think every song on here could have easily been a single. And we listened to albums in their entirety back then. We didn't skip around. It was too inconvenient. You know, we'd listen to cassettes. And so you'd rewind some and you'd wear your cassette out. But it wasn't like nowadays where you could just put a song on repeat. So we learned the depth of artists. We didn't just have single serving relationships with them. Hey, I like this song. Let me download it and put it on repeat for a day. Completely different. But again, you just run through this thing. Jump Panama, Top Jimmy, Drop Dead Legs, which is an absolute banger. Hot for Teacher, I'll Wait, incredible song. Girl Gone Bad is super cool. And then House of Pain. Not a skip on there. So if you're a young buck looking to kind of impress your parents and kind of understand kind of what they came up with and what they listened to, that's a couple of albums for you. U2's War and Van Halen's 1984. Be sure and check them out. If you have ideas for the top 10 list, reach out, let us know. Best way to do that is to hit up Roy Samanti on X at Dogmatic67, D-A-W-G-M-A-T-I-C-67. You can find our great list on Spotify. under the same handle. And, of course, I'm on all forms of socials at Scout Steve R.
All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. And with the university announcing that the black jerseys are back, you can find them. You can pick them up today at Campus Bookmart. If you can't make it to Campus Bookmart, be sure and call and maybe make a deposit and buy online, and they'll hold it for you. Or you know what? They'll ship it to you. How about that? Super cool. I even pushed that on Twitter, too, in case you didn't know. But, yeah, I love the new black concept, the dark mode, as they're calling it. Legends wear black. It's true. And I love it. I know some other people like, oh, we should only wear maroon and white. I like an alternate jersey concept every now and again. You can pick up all your jersey needs and get them all met at Campus Bookmart. We bought several baseball jerseys there and football jerseys. It's just kind of what we do. They're the official supplier of the Robertson family, without any question. So if you're looking for dark mode merch, you can find it at Campus Bookmart. Stop by and see them next time you're in town. If you can't make it to town, be sure and shop online at campusbookmart.net. And by being a Loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that is BSR, which gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than 75 bones, absolutely incomplete. I want to spend a little time talking about this Michigan stuff. I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed in how the NCAA has handled this. And I know many of you are saying, Steve, why are you surprised? Well, surprised is not the word. Disappointed is. Basically, Michigan went out and actively and knowingly cheated to win an AFL championship, and they get to retain that national championship. That AFL championship should have been vacated. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And so let's look at the penalties, and we'll spend a little time talking about this. 4 years of probation. They get a $50,000 fine plus 10% of the budget for the football program, and in the NIL rev sharing era, that's significant. Set a fine equivalent to the anticipated loss of all postseason competition revenue sharing associated with 2005 and 2006 football seasons. A fine equivalent to the cost of 10% of the scholarships awarded in Michigan's program for the next 2 years, or 25-26 academic year, pardon me. And so the experts say that's going to be about a $20 million fine. That is significant. I will say that. That part of it is significant. And it could have long-lasting effect, especially when you think about the portal and player retention. You got less money to work with. A 25% reduction in football official visits during the 25-26 season. What's crazy about that is I don't know what that means, because you have an unlimited number of visits now. So I don't know what that means. There's probably going to have to be further clarification on exactly, you know, what their cap is, because nobody has a cap when it comes to official visits. A 14-week prohibition on recruiting communications in the football program during the probation period. We don't know the dates on that, but that's, you know, a minor thing. But when you're in a hotly contested recruiting battle, you want to be able to contact kids. The show causes. And listen, I think show causes are a great thing, but there's a reason Jim Harbaugh left the college game. He knew what was coming. Jim Harbaugh gets a 10-year show cause order that actually doesn't begin until August of 2028, because he is 2 years into a 4-year show cause from the earlier Michigan case. So it's going to effectively be a 14-year show cause for Jim Harbaugh, which will likely take him throughout his career. He's done coaching college football. Sherrone Moore gets a 2-year show cause, and he's not going anywhere. Going to be suspended for 3 games. Two of those were already self-imposed for this year, but the panel added on another game to make it 3. Yeah, I don't know how significant that is. Connor Stallions, the leader of the Wolfpack, gets an 8-year show cause order. And if you watch that documentary, they tried to make it seem like that he was innocent, and he wasn't. Denard Robinson, Shoestring, remember him? 3-year show cause order restricting him from all athletically related activities during the show cause. But what's interesting about this, no vacated wins, which I don't think are very significant anyway. You know, I mean, you can't change what happened on the field. We all have those memories. It didn't really amount to much. That's true, right? No bowl ban. You know, matter of fact, if memory serves me correct, the last NCAA team to have a bowl ban was 2 years ago, Arizona State. You know, when they had all the COVID recruiting violations. And it makes me begin to wonder, if Michigan doesn't deserve a bowl ban after they cheated to win an AFL championship, then nobody deserves a bowl ban moving forward. And that's the language now is like, hey, we don't want to penalize the players that are there now, so we don't want to prevent them from competing for things of significance. I understand that aspect of it. And maybe that's the trade-off here, is we're going to hit these schools financially to make it more difficult for them to compete. But in some respects, is that not also impacting the student-athletes? I would say it is. So, you know, we got to quit being so dadgum sensitive. But, yeah, it's some people say it's a slap on the wrist. It's not a slap on the wrist. That, you know, having to pay $20 million is a big deal. It is. But these sanctions fall well beneath the nature of these violations. And they said that Connor Stallions, you know, had been probably the least cooperative person that the committee had ever seen. Said he threw his phone in a pond somewhere, you know. And the thing that I think about that is you can't force him to get it from the cloud, you know. I mean, it's like, and I understand the NCAA is a voluntary organization. They don't have subpoena power. Apparently with this new, you know, committee, things are going to be different, but it makes me wonder, if you look at the payoff for Michigan, like if you had told Michigan, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to win the national championship. However, it's going to cost you $20 million. Would you have made that deal? I would say, yeah, you probably would have. Because look how much money they made from the national championship, and it's impossible to really quantify that. Right? What did that do for season ticket sales? What did that do for donations? You know, what did that do for merchandising sales? How many national championship shirts did you sell? You know, it's crazy. And you go back and you begin to think about this in hindsight. You know, they won the national championship in 1997. So you're talking 25 years, 26 years, basically. And Michigan, in many respects, has kind of been an afterthought on the national stage. But so, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to spend $20 million and we're going to buy a national championship. Of course you make that deal. Of course you make it. And then they let them keep the national championship. That's the thing that I think about. I go back and think about what happened, you know, with the Fab Five at Michigan. Ironically, right? You guys enjoyed those seasons. To me, that's when, you know, and again, I get it. I'm an older guy, so my point of reference is different. We didn't have as much to watch on TV back then. And so when ESPN began to air all those Michigan games, and we got to see Jalen Rose and Chris Webber and Juwan Howard and Ray Rice and all those guys. Was his name Ray Rice? I don't think it was. But anyway, you understand my point. Those were incredible teams, and I venture to say even now, many people would say, you know what, it's one of the best teams in the history of college basketball, and they made them take down those banners for a lot less. Louisville 2013, you know, with the Rick Pitino stuff, with all of the prostitute stuff, and I think there was an overreach there by the NCAA. And you made them vacate a title. But Michigan clearly violated the rules of fair play, and not even in a recruiting way, right? I mean, that's the thing here. Like, this is institutional in-game cheating. Under the table money has always existed in college athletics, and it always will, right? And so if somebody goes out and buys a player, you say, well, everybody does that. Not everybody does this, to put together a team that goes on the road to steal signals to give your team a competitive advantage. And it's different than a recruiting violation. To me, it is. You have the coaching staff involved in cheating. And not just cheating on the recruiting trail, cheating the actual game. And then going through and putting a spreadsheet together and things of that nature. All those games should be vacated. That NIFL championship should be vacated. Because they, as a staff, cut corners. It's one thing to have a rogue booster, and let's be honest about that. Those boosters aren't rogue. They got to know who to pay. They got to know an asking price, right? So there's always, you know, one degree of separation, I guess, from all of that. And don't think that there's not somebody involved on the staff side when those things occur. There always are, no matter what school you cheer for. But this is completely different. I don't know that we've seen a lot on this side of things in any level of sports. I mean, you go back and think about what happened with the Saints, right? What happened with the Astros? They were punished. And then you look at Michigan, it's like, yeah, you guys cheated to win a national championship, but you're still national champions. I just don't get it. I don't get it. And I venture to say this may be one of, if not the last NCAA cases that falls under the traditional format. Things are expected to be different with this, you know, this new model that we have for enforcement. And so, and if that's the case, at least of major cases, I think it really is a fitting ending, a crescendo, if you will, of how the NCAA enforcement model has just been insufficient. And listen, there have been people within our conference, even within our state, obviously, that have rolled the dice. And sometimes it's worked out and sometimes it hasn't. And at times we've been very conservative. And it's incredible. We're just not good cheaters. Whenever we cheat, we seem to get caught. But it's just a fraud to have this high-profile a case. And the reason that it drew such national reaction is because you had a guy on staff, and then Michigan tried to say, well, he's not really on staff. But yet he was getting these videos and recruiting others to go shoot videos from the stands and then digitizing all of that and making a comprehensive package is basically a scouting report to send to the Michigan staff. And then in the end, even though it's going to cost them $20 million, we're like, that's all right. That's all right. You know, you can keep that trophy. It just didn't make a lot of sense to me. It doesn't. What's the point in having rules if we're not going to enforce them? Yeah, I'm a big believer in that. I'm a big believer in rules. Like, if these are the rules and we all agree to them, this is what we're going to do. And you violate them, you got to be punished. And I don't just mean write us a check. Because effectively what we have done here as NCAA member institutions is allowed Michigan to skirt the rules of play and then basically just have to write a check and then keep their ill-gotten gains. I just think that's inappropriate, and I think it's not in the spirit of fair play. Final segment of the show is always brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Memorable memories involve memorable people and memorable places. I can't help you with the people, but I can help you with the place. That's the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle without any question. When you're bringing a large group to town, whether it's a ballgame weekend or maybe a midweek trip to take in a pair of Mississippi State men's or women's basketball games, it's completely up to you. But maybe you just want to get out of town a little bit and come to your favorite place in the world, Starkville, Mississippi. No one could blame you for that. Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page auto-populates. You can peruse their Facebook page and see all the amenities available to you and your guests. That's the full-service kitchen. That's the wet bar, the back porch area, the fire pit area, 6 bedrooms, 3 baths. The old renovated country club clubhouse out past the Highlands, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. You can do your tailgating right there. Great stuff, man. We stayed there for New Year's and had a blast. We plan to do it again. We're thinking about it anyway. The reality of it is,
is we don't get together enough. We say it, and sometimes it's just idle chatter. You be the linchpin in your friend or family group and get things done. Yeah. Check availability, and then call everybody else and say, hey, this is what we're doing, and what weekend works for you or what weekday works for you. I don't know your scheduling. You know, you may be free as a bird for all I know. But I do know this. I do know you can have a great time at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Very easy to get to, just off 82, go out past the Highlands. Next thing you know, you've got plenty of parking and plenty of peace and quiet. What's better than that? Well, it's the people you bring with you, the people that are having the weekend with you. Now, when you Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, some booking options are going to pop up. You can go Airbnb or VRBO if that's your jam. Maybe you got a credit with them. I don't know. But if you just want to save some money and you don't have a promo code, I'll give you one. Book through the Evolve website with promo code BSR10. That's beautiful Steve Robertson, the number 10, to get 10% off your stay. The best place to stay in the Golden Triangle, without any question. All right. Thought we would peruse the final summer baseball. I'll give you the highlights. I'm not going to give you everything. Fall baseball camp starts September 19th. And we are finalizing plans to have a 2-7 type event with another D1 baseball program. Those plans are being finalized now. And happy to say that the scrimmage against Florida State and Pensacola has been sold out. So congratulations, Bulldogs and Seminole fans, for making that happen. That's pretty cool. And it'll probably be really good coverage of that, too. You know, I hope we can go down there and just absolutely run them out of the stadium. I want to ruin their weekend. You know what I mean? That's just me. I hold a grudge. Few things I want to point out here. James Nunnally played for Valley this summer. 18 games, 64 at-bats, had a .375 batting average, and 16 of 19 in stolen bases. Doesn't that make you excited right there? Just the one tank, that's not what we really need him for. I got to get on base, move around, come around to score. He scored 9 runs in 18 games. But a valuable piece that I don't think a lot of people are talking about, Ace Reese, of course, played extensively this summer. 8 games in the Cape with Chatham, hit .303 with a couple of jacks, 33 at-bats, was with the national collegiate team and with the college national team over in Japan. So busy summer for him. Braden Booth, you know, kind of figuring some things out. Not necessarily one of the highlights, but Dane Burns, 5 games, puts in a 2-0 record, allows 12 hits in 14 innings, 17 Ks against 8 walks. Like to see that closer to 3-1. ERA of 4.50. Jack Gleason, kind of figuring some things out too. We think he'll be a piece for us. Ryan McPherson, of course, was part of the college national team. Tyler Pitzer was the Cape Pitcher of the Year. Has a 3-0 record, ERA of 0.34. He did pitch in the playoffs and took the loss the other day, so I don't know if those numbers have been accumulated. Duke Stone, really good summer for him too. 2-1 record, 27 innings pitched, 35 strikeouts against just 6 walks. That'll work, won't it? 3.33 ERA. And again, a guy that I think a lot of people maybe are sleeping on a little bit because last year was like the first year back from TJ. Well, now you're kind of getting to see why Wes Johnson and Jacob Parker both wanted him. Yeah, and so a lot to think about for sure. But it's been a good summer. It's been a good summer. It has been. And then we've got some big things coming up. I think that's the most important part of this thing too, is like all of this in a summer was to prepare us for this college baseball season. Now, sources within the program tell me off the record, from a position standpoint, we're going to be absolutely loaded. I think you guys kind of know that too. Drew Weyers played for the Bourne Braves in the Cape toward the end of the summer and helped them win a championship. Yeah. And that's a guy I don't think a lot of people are talking about either. But when you begin to work through this roster and you begin to realize the returning players, number one, we have a really strong nucleus of players in Garrick Frye yesterday. Put out his little montage about being back. Of course, not really breaking any news there, but it's still cool to see, right? But begin to break this thing down. As said on the show before, our top 5 hitters for average from last year are back, right? I mean, just Ace Reese back at third base. You're excited about that. Gad Sanders, shout out to Granny Gat, was a guy we just simply couldn't run off, right? I mean, he kept grinding and grinding and grinding, becomes your everyday second baseman. Bryce Chance is back. One of the more difficult hitters to strike out in the country is back for another year. Noah Sullivan, fan favorite, is back for another year. So you take that nucleus of players, you know, those five guys that won a lot of games last year, and you begin to think, okay, now you're adding Aiden Teal into the mix, a guy that turned down Major League money to come to Mississippi State for one more year. He was a draft-eligible sophomore. You talk about Nunnally, a guy that turned down a mint to go play for Brian O'Connor at Virginia. And you begin to work in, you know, this transfer class, you know. Blake Bevis, where does he factor in? Where does Reed Stallman factor in? And Reed's a guy, too, that can, you know, get some big swings off as well. You go out and you get a couple of catchers, you feel pretty good about that aspect of it. You go get a shortstop. You know, Ryder Woodson's a guy we expect to be the shortstop, but there's going to be a lot of competition there. Saw Jacob Parker just yesterday. Seen him a couple times driving that new truck around. But, yeah, I mean, I'm excited. And it's like one of those things, too, I think it's about 6 months until baseball season. But we've got a lot to entertain us between now and then. And I don't want to put – it's like the old adage from AA, right? If you have 1 foot in the past and 1 foot in the future, you're kind of peeing on today, right? And so I want to make sure that we enjoy football season and not just get caught up in the irrational exuberance of what we think the 2026 Diamond Dogs are going to look like. We'll get a chance to see them this fall. Got to get out of there healthy, right? And, you know, we got to grow up a little bit on the mound. But when you begin to work through it, Thomas Valinkas is going to be one of your starters, probably your Friday night guy, I suspect. He was the most reliable pitcher at Virginia last year as a freshman. And then you add in, you know, Ryan McPherson, Charlie Foster, Duke Stone, you know, Tyler Pitzer's a guy, too, that may be a piece out of the bullpen. But, you know, we got to figure those things out this fall, figure out who we can trust and in what roles. I like the pieces. I mean, I'm interested to see what Brendan Sweeney does. Brendan Sweeney's a guy that was highly regarded when he went to South Carolina. And it wasn't a great year at South Carolina, as you guys know. But before we get to all of that, like, baseball scrimmages are fun, but they're secondary when it comes to football weekends. And so, hey, I hope that you get to do both. You know, come to town, enjoy a Bulldog football game, and then check out the Diamond Dogs too. But there's going to be a lot for us to talk about between now and then. And it's so crazy to think about. Like, it feels like Brian O'Connor has already been our coach for a while. It's been 6.5 months. Excuse me, 2.5 months. He got here, you know, June 2nd, you know, and the next thing you know, we're off and running. And it's been kind of a frenetic pace in many respects, as you guys are well aware. I mean, as soon as he gets here, you know, we have the ceremony. We get a rush of commitment shortly thereafter for some Virginia players. And then the next thing you know, it's just 1 week after the next, we're adding a player here, adding a player there. Get through the draft in great fashion. Now these guys are starting to trickle in. You know, class starts on the 20th. And so those that are not here will be here this weekend. We have the team meeting, I think the 18th, I think that's right. So, yeah, they'll be getting together, and then next thing you know, the full complement of the Bulldog roster will be here. And so I share that with you because I am irrationally exuberant about college baseball season. That understood, I think this football season could prove to be a little bit better than people are suggesting, and that's going to be up to Jeff Lebby and the group. One of the comments last night that stood out to me, and I want to share that with you. I can't remember who asked the question. But, you know, there were some trust issues last year. There really were. There were some trust issues last year, and I mean that in the nicest way possible. A lot of times, and I offer this with a caveat, you know, there are some of you that actually know people and know players and things of that nature. But the reality of it is a lot of times we think we know people because we follow them on social media, we see them on television, you know. Couple things that Blake Shapen said yesterday that kind of stood out to me. One was about the defense, right? And that was my question. You know, nobody sees more of our defensive progress more than the quarterback, right? Because he has to scrimmage against it every single day. And here's what he said about the thing that he sees from the defense. And these are words you want to hear. Quote, I would just say the unity of the group. I feel like they play together. I feel like they communicate at a very high level. You can hear them talking every single play. They know where to go. They're playing fast. I know that's the biggest thing for me, the speed of the defense and how fast, whether they're pressuring, whether they're disguising looks, things like that. I feel like they do a good job of that and communicate and play really fast. End of quote. Now, that's one of those things you look at and you begin to kind of ask yourself, right? Is it truly, truly different? Well, we won't get to see it until we take the field against Southern Miss. But we're beginning to hear enough chatter, I think, where we can kind of begin to think, okay, all right, well, this begins to kind of make some sense here. And that's kind of how I feel. It's one thing to hear it from the coaches, right? I mean, and certainly from the defensive coaches. And we heard that, you know, kind of before camp, you know, the expectation. But Isaac Smith is a guy that I think that we know and trust. And I firmly believe that he would lie to us. That's kind of my opinion about that. There's some people out there, so they may not tell you the whole truth, but they won't lie to you, right? I trust Isaac Smith. I do. I think he is a great ambassador for Mississippi State. He is a fine football player, but more importantly, he is a fine person. When Isaac tells me that he's confident and that he feels like we're doing better, that encourages me. When I hear Blake Shapen, the quarterback and pretty much the face of the offense, say that they're giving him a little trouble at times, that's good, right? Because I believe we're going to be able to score. I just hope we're going to be able to stop people from scoring. But the comment that I thought was so incredible, we talked about the trust issues. And, there were some things that happened last year that never really made it public. And it was handled by your coaching staff. But, you know, some of the guys that you guys followed on social media and you thought were, you know, quote, great guys didn't do a great job last year. Okay? And they may prove to be great guys, but their time at Mississippi State, they didn't put their best foot forward. And so Ricky Johnson kind of brought that up earlier this week. You know, about the receiver room. And so Blake says, yeah, for sure. No disrespect to last year's group or anything like that, but this year's group, they're the whole package. I've said many a time they're great dudes. When they enter the building, they're not selfish at all, ready to come to work and get better. And that's what you've seen from those guys every day. End of quote. I think that is an important statement. And I think it shows maybe the maturation of the program under Jeff Lebby. Simply put, guys, we had some bad actors last year. We've talked about it briefly. We did. And we had some guys, we had to kick off the team, and that's the part of being a coach. You know, sometimes you got to pull somebody aside and put them on the understand program. Sometimes you got to put somebody on the bench. And sometimes you got to cut somebody. That's true in life and in business and everything else. I'm not advocating you cutting people, but you understand what I'm saying. There's sometimes you have to remove people from the group for the betterment of the group. We went through some of that last year. Yeah, Leon Bell was a guy last year. Had an episode in practice, was allowed to come back under certain conditions. He had another one, and he's gone. And here's the thing about those sorts of things. The standards have to apply to everybody. The best way to lose the team is to have foundational standards that are not enforced. And based on everything that I have seen and heard from Jeff Lebby, he is uncompromising in the standard. And so when you have a guy that maybe breaks the rules and you give him a second chance, and I think everybody's entitled to a second chance, you know, unless they do something egregious, and he disrespects the staff in front of the rest of the team, you don't have a choice, because if you let him come back the team is gone. You may save that guy and lose the other 104. This is how it works. It's just like we talk about in retail management, right? And I fuss about this stuff all the time. I'm sure there are people in Mississippi State that get tired of hearing from me. Like when you walk into the sale complex, like the first 20 feet, right? The lobby area should be immaculate. It should look like a hospital, in my estimation. When I go into a retail establishment, I can typically tell within the first 20 feet how that operation is managed. It's the same thing with football. When you walk in to a Jeff Lebby event, and if it's not where it needs to be, it's on Jeff, right? And so when I hear that Jeff's like, I'm not going to allow these things to happen, it's encouraging to me. And I don't care who it has to be. No one is bigger than the team. No one is bigger than the university. No one's bigger than the program. No one's bigger than the branding. No one. Not a player, not a coach, not an administrator. Nobody. Nobody's bigger than Mississippi State. Because what happens, and if you know this as well as I do, when somebody does something stupid, the first lines or first words in the headline are Mississippi State. Not the player, the school. So you're playing for something bigger, right? And that's important to understand. And I think it's pretty safe to say, based on the conversation, of course, you know, talk is talk, right? But based on the conversations we've had with players, I think guys fully appreciate that. They're embarrassed about what happened last year. I asked Hunter Washington, kind of compared this year to last year, and he grinned and says, we don't talk about last year. Yeah, and I think that's fair too. You've talked about it enough, right? We're going to be playing football here in 15 days. Thank goodness, right? Because we need some things to feel good about. Because you know as well as I do, you get a couple of dubs under your belt, and all of a sudden last year feels like a distant memory. You get a couple of losses, all of a sudden you feel like, oh, you know what? This thing is just kind of, it is what it is, right? The trend continues. But I'm a firm believer that, with rare exception, there are not a lot of bad employees. Sometimes you may hire somebody that's unqualified. Maybe you get somebody in there that the expectations of the job exceeds their skill set, and they don't have the aptitude to rise to the expectation. That happens in business and in sports. It does. But when you have people, and I've had some in the past too, and I have to ask myself, have I properly coached this person? Are they failing because of themselves, me, or a combination of both? So I've got to remove my obligations from the equation. I got to make sure that I have done all that I can do to coach them up. It's the same thing for Jeff Lebby. And that's one of the things we went through last year. All season long, let's coach them up, coach them up, coach them. Can they play? Can we trust them? We get to the end of the year. Hey, I've done my part. We have those exit meetings, and it's like, hey, I think it'd be best for all of us if you moved on and hit the transfer portal. And there are other guys that just say, you know what, listen, it's just not working out for me here. I'm going to go, right? But it's not always their decision. It's billed that way, but it's not. And as I said, from the moment we hired Jeff Lebby, I believe he's going to score. I believe, basically, if we can just be better on defense, we don't have to be great. We don't have to be elite. I'd love to be elite. But if we can just be good on defense, you got a chance to get to a bowl game. And again, everybody wants to go count, you know, the games, things like that. You know, right now the most important thing for us to do is go beat Southern Miss. And we got people out there seeing ghosts. You know, it's nuts. You know, I do think it'll be an interesting game, but, you know, a lot of people are just, you know, being downtrodden and, you know, projecting failure all the time is just not conducive to success. You know, the good thing is most of you don't play. You know, it, the people that have the down in the mouth, oh, woe is us, so poor Mississippi State. You listen, I love to be in a Bulldog, and I would rather be a Bulldog than anything else. There's not much in my life that gives me a greater sense of joy when we win a game, especially when we win one that we're not expected to win. And I go back to this all the time. And for many of you, you're going to be able to say I was there the whole time. And I was loyal the whole way through, right? But in order for us to get capacity to stay, we're going to need a bandwagon fan to come too, you know. But the reality of it is we've got a lot to accomplish here in these next 15 days. Bulldogs will be on the scrimmage field tomorrow and we will meet with Jeff Lebby following that scrimmage. And the next thing you know, man, we're just, it's really starting to get into, you know, kind of separating the sheep from the goats, right? You know, here over the course of the next, 10 days or so, we're going to separate the scout team. We'll settle a depth chart, and then we'll begin game week for Southern Miss. We'll have depth charts to talk about. You know, we'll have, projections to talk about, matchups of Southern Miss to talk about. You know, we'll start getting a little more information. And it's a grind for us, too. Don't get me wrong. But we'll have Leb's press conference video and transcript available for you over at jeanspage.com. Now's a great time to join Jeans Page, 50% off the annual subscription price. It's fun. And if you're already a full-time annual subscriber to Jeans Page, you also get Paramount Plus. Reminder that in 2026, the UFC is going to be moving to Paramount Plus. And if you are a Jeans Page full revenue sub, you get to Paramount Plus for free. It's a great incentive. So if you're in the promo period, you don't get it free. But once you renew at the full price, you can take advantage of that. Go to dirtynoblebook.com and you can get signed copies of all my sports titles. That's Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dogpile, and of course The Dude, which is still on the bestseller list. Thank you very much. And we got a chance to go a full year on the bestseller list, which is pretty cool. With football season coming up, you guys will be coming to town. And maybe you didn't get the book during baseball season. You can get it during football season. Come float with us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. You can call 662-268-7601 and speak directly with my lovely wife, Dana. Again, that's 662-268-7601. If you're a person that has chronic pain or anxiety or you just need a break, we may be able to help you. We've helped many others. Visit TrueRest.com for more information. You can follow us on all forms of social at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. Be sure and check it out today. Hey, you guys have a great weekend. Reminder, we'll be at Hallam House tonight. Looking forward to the show. I'll get the show up for you guys. We'll get cleaned up, and I'll head down there. We'll have dinner. We'll go to the show for the Coalition Against Domestic Violence in Mississippi. Very worthy cause. And again, $7 for four bands tonight at Hallam House, the legendary venue there in Jackson, Mississippi. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.